stomping them and literally stamping great oppression on them anymore. So you got to think like the new dimension that you have arisen into. And that's the God dimension. Hallelujah. That's why we're born with incorruptible seed, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That's why we're born with a DNA now. That's not just a biological DNA. So powerful to the point that Paul says, a day will come when we will not all fall asleep. That's how powerful this DNA is called the Christ that's living in every one of us.
Yes, sir.
What our adversary wants us to do is still think in those dimensions that God delivered us out of and keep our conversation and our vocabulary attached to that. What you must begin to do is learn the heavenly vocabulary. As Zephaniah said, there's a pure lip that God wants to give his people. And therefore you will sound no longer like that rim that we came out of. Every one of us were delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He said, a great nation. We attach this word great to too many flimsy things.
Come on, sir. Come on.
If somebody's a good basketball player, excellent, you know, got many skills, we'll say that's a great player. Come on. We do, you know, most in the theater, if someone, you know, has tremendous skills, we'll say that's a great actor. And we attach greatness to things that we really should attach greatness to.
Come on.
What we do have is a great God. And what he's desiring to do is build a great nation where this word great can be, if you will, redeemed and redefined to the degree that God wants this word defined. You see, there's a whole lot of vocabulary that's got to be redefined. And some of it that you must forget. But what you see here is that when I consider God's vision casting here, I can understand why from November until now, he's had me to visit this man, Abraham, because if you don't understand the foundation by which you have been hewn, you have been cut out of, then it's very difficult in some ways to assess exactly where you are on the journey. Now, the reason that I wanted to give you these two passages placed together is because Moses, the writer of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, now, this stuff was not written before they got out. Are you aware of that? No, it wasn't written before they got out. It's during the course because you must have, if you will, those that become scribes to leave a historical record of how God was dealing with his people in a particular season. And one of the reasons that Pentecost has been weak is because we don't have scribes as a whole. We've got excellent teachers, excellent preachers. Come on, we got excellent seekers. We got people who can talk in tongues. Paul can say more than ye all. But we have not really had scribes that's needful. See, in Matthew 23, I believe it's verse 34, so the Lord said, listen, I'm going to send you. That word there for send is apostello, which the word apostle comes from. He said, and this is what I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you apostles. I'm going to send you wise men. I'm going to send you scribes. And he told them, he said, some of them you're going to treat in a manner that is really not proper. Some of them you're going to crucify and you're going to kill. He said, others of them you're going to reject. He said, but I'm going to send them to you. Jesus said this. Now, why the prophetic first? Because generally everything is launched through the prophetic. If you look at probably each of the ministries that we've been related to in this region, they all started connected to the prophetic.
Amen.
Am I right? And so you have that apostolic dimension that is prophetic. It's more prophetic than it is anything. But once you have it called forth, called into being, because that's what the prophetic, the true prophetic does, it calls into being what God has determined for that time. Okay? And so once that's launched, then you got to have some wise men around. Because what Paul described the apostles as is wise master builders.
That's right.
You will not establish people. Come on. You will not settle people, get them grounded, unless you are a wise master builder. A wise man, if you will. Now, you understand I'm not talking gender specific here. You understand that, don't you? Let me make it clear. All right? So once you have people established, once there's a history there, then you must have scribes to begin to write about this and why this was important, why God needed to do this at a particular time. So here Moses is a scribe, of course. We know that he's a prophet. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 18, when he's speaking to the new generation, he said that, listen, God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me. He said, and you can't afford to reject him. And so reference is made to this when they rejected Jesus, that they rejected the prophet that God raised up like unto Moses. So we know that Moses is a prophet. Was he a wise man? Clearly he was a wise man. Huh? How in the world are you going to deal with millions of people for years? You're carrying all the anointing. Hello? You're bearing all of them in prayer. Can you imagine that? Having that assignment, you're carrying a shepherd's heart so that you don't kill two-thirds of them. Remember, they're people. They're people. They're sheep. The sheep of his pasture. And we don't have the right to kill them.
No, we don't.
Okay? So we know that he's a wise man. Now, here's another way that he showed wisdom. He could not do it all alone. See, part of what must be dealt with from an apostolic perspective in this season is the do-it-all pastor. Because that has sprung out of a carnal apparatus called denominationalism, basically. It was never intended to be that way. Well, you got the load on one person and one person doing everything and wearing themselves out and dying early. That was never intended by God. We love you, Pastor. Oh, yeah. But we're going to help make your grave real early. And then we'll come and we'll sing and we'll shout and we'll dance. And we'll testify, say how wonderful you were. And then we're going to go to something called repast. Everybody say repast. That's where people come and eat up all your food. I mean, eat up all your food. And then it's all over. And then let's find us another one to kill. And the only reason that that system still exists, is still framed, is because it hasn't been spoken to fully enough apostolically.
That's right.
And it must be spoken to. Absolutely. So there are many things that's got to be written now. So Moses is writing to these folk. And he's leaving this record here so that they will remember this day, this moment. Now, I believe that part of this is to give them a historical framework by which they're going to come from. So he takes them all the way back to Abram. And then the change that he goes through to become Abraham. And then his sons, Isaac and Jacob, the fathers, if you will. Now, if you got a Bible, I want you to grab a hold of Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11. Pinch it. Pinch it. You got a Bible. Come on, pinch it. When you get it pinched, say, I got it pinched. Just hold those chapters between your fingers. It won't take much to do it because it's not a whole lot of reading there. You there?
Yeah.
Everybody? How about those of you in the back? You there? You got it pinched? Or if you got a computer, just pinch your computer.